as I was preparing for this message, Dad kept talking to me. He said, "Luke, have you got your message prepared yet?" And I said, "Nah, haven't really had time." I said, I'll get around to it. And Dad kept, every day, "Oh, Luke, you got your message prepared yet?" And I said, I'm waiting something from heaven above. I need something from heaven. There's no good speaking on what I want to speak on. So I need something straight from heaven. Every day, you feeling nervous? I think Dad was a bit more nervous than what I was. And because he said every day, then after a while I thought, maybe there is something to get nervous about. So we're going to start reading Matthew 25. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. It says here, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then when he had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." All right, we're going to be speaking tonight on being faithful. I've entitled the message, "Be Faithful, Don't Bury Your Talents." But before we go into the message, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you that we can come together, Lord, as your people. We thank you, Lord, that you have commanded us, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, a lot of us can't be great in many ways in the world's eyes, but Lord, each one of us, Lord, can be faithful. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me this evening. I pray that you just give me the right words to say. In the Lord Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Alright. First of all, this is talking about a parable. Now, all of us who have been to Bible school should know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable also has one central truth, and the central truth of this parable is faithfulness. Well, I'm going to read an example from, it's called Knight's Master's Book of New Illustrations, just to give us an idea of where we're going to be heading with this message. And it says here, Canon Haig tells of a chaplain who was ministering to a dying boy in the last war. He asked him if he had any message for his mother. Yes, he said. Tell her I am dying happy. Anything else? Yes. Write to my Sunday school teacher. What shall I say? Tell her I died a Christian, and I have never forgotten her teaching. A few weeks later, the chaplain received a letter from his Sunday school teacher. It went something like this. God have mercy upon me. Only last month I resigned from my Sunday school class, for I felt that my teaching was doing no good. And scarcely had I, through my cowardly, faithless heart, given up my appointed work when I got your letter, telling me that my teaching had been the means of winning a soul to Christ. I'm going back to my pastor at once to tell him that I will try again in Christ's name, and I'll be faithful to the end. This Sunday school teacher went out. She's obviously been teaching class for some time. And she looked at the class and thought, this is a waste of time. Why am I wasting my time teaching children? And I don't seem to be getting any response. But obviously, we see there through that teaching, this young lad received Christ as his own personal saviour. And you say, well, look, what would have happened if that lady hadn't have been faithful? That young boy could have been in hell today because of that teacher that wasn't faithful. All right, we're going to go through our parable here and just see what we can glean from it. All right, starting in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So here we have a picture of a man going for a journey. He's obviously a rich man. He had 3 servants. And he's going into a country. He's going to go for a long journey. He's going for a holiday. He's had enough. We don't know what he's been doing. We're going to use a bit of preacher's license here. He's been out. He's been working hard. He's like, nah, I need a holiday. So he calls his servant and says, look, fellas, I'm going to take a journey. And it says in verse 15... it says in verse 14, and delivered unto them his goods. So he distributes his goods. He's obviously a wise man. Gets his goods, distributes them between these 3 men. And it says in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So here we see, I looked up the word talent, and in a book I've got, Seth's got some study books, and it says the exact value is unknown, but in the New Testament it indicates a large sum of money. So the first one's given 5 talents, which if 1 talent is a great sum of money, then 5 is obviously going to be a fair few more. So first one's given 5 talents, the other man's given 2 talents, and the other man's given 1 talent. And it says every man according to his several ability. So each man is given according to what he can handle. And that's the same in our lives. Every one of us that are given talents, we're not all given the same talents. Each person is given a talent that is fit and custom-made for them. Alright, so each man receives a certain amount of talents. And the man with 2 could have said, oh, that's not fair. I've only got 2 talents, and he's got 5. That just doesn't seem fair, but no. The man with 5 talents was happy with what he had. The man with 2 talents was happy with what he had. I'm not sure about the man with 1 talent. It doesn't say a whole lot about him, but from what he did with it, he obviously didn't think much of it. So then it says in verse 16, and we'll read through 16 and 17, and it said, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. So we see these servants, they go out. They're obviously wise. They don't think, this man's given us money, we'll just stash it away somewhere, put it in the bank, she'll be right. These 2 men are faithful men. They are wise men. So they get the money and they trade with that money. They use it. We don't know exactly what they use the money for, but they trade with the money to gain more money. And so both of them put their money to good use. They are faithful. They are wise with the money they've been given. And then it says in verse 18, it says, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. All right, so this man gets his money. We don't know exactly what he did with it, but let's say he had a big paddock. This man's got a huge big paddock. So he steps out his paddock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 50 out from the fence and 99 across the paddock. Goes out one night, digs a big massive hole, just makes sure everyone's not looking, and got some money, buries it, makes sure he puts it long way down. I didn't have the rule back then, 6 inches was the government's, and the rest of it was, no, 6 inches is ours, and the rest is the government's, so he dug it right down to make sure when he ploughed the field, he wasn't going to plough over it and lose his talent. So he digs his talent into the ground, hides it, so that no one can find it. He's not too wise. How is that money ever going to get more? How is it ever going to increase if it's just sitting in the ground? But he obviously thought, no, I'm going to hide this talent. And I don't know what he was thinking, whether he thought that by hiding it, at least nothing's going to happen to it. I'm not sure exactly what he thought, but it says, the Bible says he hid it in the ground. And it says in verse 19, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So notice here it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So these guys had plenty of time. It doesn't say that this guy went off for a holiday, comes back straight away. It says, after a long time. So he had plenty, they had plenty of time. The man with one talent had just as much time as the man with the two talents, and just as much time as the fellow with the five talents. So there's no excuse there for saying, well, he didn't have enough time to do what they need to do. Each man had the same amount of time, a different amount of talents, but the same amount of time. And it says there in verse... and that goes on to say in the last part of that verse that he reckoneth with them, or so he discusses with them. He gets his servants back together again and talks with them, starts talking about what they've been doing and what they've done with the talents he's given them. And it says in verse 20 and 21, and it says there, and so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So first the man with the five talents comes back and he's discussing with the Lord. He says, Lord, the Lord of the servant, so his master, in other words, discussing with them, and he says, well, what have you done with the talents I've given to you? And he said, with those five talents, he said, I've gained another five talents. Now notice for these five talents, he didn't gather another 100 talents. All he'd done was doubled what the master had given him. He'd been faithful with what the master had given him. He didn't come back and say, look, master, I had five talents, now I've got 50. Five talents, now I've got 500. He had five talents, but he was faithful with those five talents and came back with another five. Then it says in verse 22 and 23, it says, he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents with beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So here again, we have the man with two talents. And he comes and says, Master, I've made another two talents. I've doubled the money that you've given me. Now notice in both situations, the man with the five talents, he doubles it and has another five talents. But the man with two talents, he doubles it and he has another two. But notice the wording there. It says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to the one with five talents. And well done, thou good and faithful servant, to the one with two talents. So in one sense, you look at someone and you say, Lord, I haven't got as many talents as Joe Blow down the road. I haven't got as many talents as that person. That person can do this, that person can do that, that person can do this. And at the end of the day, the person that's got 50 talents and gets to heaven one day and the Lord says, what did you do with your talents? And they've only used half their talents, and you get, and the poor person who thinks they've only got one talent, and they use that talent for the glory of God. The person with the one talent is going to get the good and well done, their good and faithful servant. But the one who had the 50 talents, but yet only used half of those talents, isn't going to get that well done, their good and faithful servant, because they haven't been faithful with the talents that they've been given. And then we go down to verse 23. And in Luke 16:10 it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." He said, because at the end of this verse it says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, we can be faithful, if we can be faithful in the small things, then we can definitely be faithful in the big things. But God will never give us, I remember hearing a story about a man who was going over as a missionary to, I can't remember the exact place he's going, say he's going to Africa. This man decided, yes, I want to serve the Lord and I want to do it in a great way. So he said, yeah, I'm going to Africa. So as he was, I believe, as he was on the plane flying over to Africa, another pastor met him on the plane and he said to him, that they got talking together, started discussing things, discussing what do you plan to do? I'm planning to be a missionary over to the people of Africa. This man said to him, "How many people have you won back in Australia? How many people have you won to the Lord back in Australia?" And this man said, well, no. This man said to him, "How can you be a missionary to the people of Africa if you can't be faithful and witness to the people in Australia?" It's so true. We always want to do the big things for God, but we can never go. What's the use of going to the Africans if we can't even be faithful and witness to the people who God's put with us in Australia? So then we see in verse 22 and 23 it says, "He also that had," oh no, verse 24, sorry. "And he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed.'" So this man says, "Look, you're a hard man." He said, "So what I've done..." In verse 25 it says, "And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." So this fellow goes out, does his 50 across the paddock, and then does his 99, goes out, digs up the talent, brings it back. Said, "Sorry, it's a bit dirty, but here's your talent." And notice in verse 25, we'll come back to that again, but he said, "And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth." We'll come back to that a little bit later on in our message. And it says here, "His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed.'" So this man doesn't get the well done, that good and faithful servant. But he's brought back the one talent he had. He had one talent. This man had given him one talent. He brought it back and said, "Here it is." He didn't lose the talent. He still had that one talent, but he hadn't used it how he should have used it. He hadn't used it. All he had to do was earn one more talent, and that man would have said, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." But he didn't use it in any way. He came back and put that talent down and said, "Here it is. Here is that thou," what does it say? "Here, there, lo, there that hast that is thine." So he just gives back the talent. And the Lord is not very happy with his man, and he says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." And he says to him, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury." He said, "You could have at least done something with it." He said, "It might have only been one talent, but you could have lent it out and at least made interest on it. You could have put it in the bank and used it for something." But he said, "You weren't faithful, and he wasn't wise either with that talent that he'd been given." And then it says, and then we have here Luke 16:10. The last part of Luke 16:10 says, He that is unjust in the least is unjust also much. So as we read before in Luke 16:10, it said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. The opposite is true also. If you can't be faithful in making your bed, you'll never be the CEO of wherever, a big company. If you can't be faithful in the little things, if you can't be faithful in doing the dishes, if you can't be faithful in the little things in life, you'll never get anywhere, so to speak. Because, as the Bible says, if you're unjust in the least, you've got to be unjust also in much. And you say, well, Luke, what's the big deal about being faithful? The big deal about being faithful is in Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. So obviously faithfulness is a rarity. Obviously there's not many people who are faithful, because it says, but a faithful man who can find. You think, faithfulness, it seems easy. You think, just be faithful. But faithfulness is, I find myself, you get very discouraged with being faithful. It's easy to do something, you think, oh yeah, if I was doing something big for God. But faithfulness in just reading your Bible. As pastor, he said it many times. Just being faithful in reading our Bible every day. It's just a small thing. You think, read my Bible every day. But that's a small thing. How can God use that? I mean, that's not even anything special. That's not even great. How's anyone ever going to look at me and say, boy, he's a great man. He read his Bible every day. But it's faithful in that. How can you ever do anything great for God if you go out for God and say, and I'm going to witness to someone, and they say to you, oh, do you know anything about this? Or, yeah, I don't read my Bible, but it's in there somewhere. You're not going to be able to do anything great for God if you can't just do the simple little things in life. So with our two servants, they both had different talents, and they both had different amounts of talents, but they were both faithful. The Bible clearly says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to both servants. And same with us. We all have talents. Each one of us has talents. We might not have talents, the same talents as the person sitting next to us. We might not have the same talents as, well, we don't have the same talents as anyone we know. The Lord has custom made different talents for us. And you say, but how can I use my talents, Luke? It's just, I've got this talent, I can do this, but how can God ever use that? Well, one of the best ways to come around that is say, Lord, you've given me this talent, how can I use it? And I'm sure if you are willing to use your talent, God will say, look, you can use your talent in this area. You say, all I can do is talk, write, and that's about all. Well, you know, being a missionary, if you're a missionary, you can preach to the people and then you can write missionary letters back to the people who are supporting you, and then that's all sorted out. So all you need to do is be able to read and write and eat and drink and all that sort of thing. So the Lord can use all silly little talents. We think, oh, but just a silly thing, writing a letter. But if you could write one letter to a missionary and be a great encouragement to them. You can ring someone up on the phone and they could be having a real bad day, and you could just ring up and try and encourage them. And it might be a talent you've got. You might think, oh, how's the Lord ever going to use that? But that's all the Lord asked for. Faithfulness. Notice the Bible doesn't say, well done, thou good and prosperous servant. Or well done, thou good and famous servant. Or well done, thou good and strong servant. It doesn't say any of that. It says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And all it requires is for us to be faithful. Then we go down to some Christians. We go back to the servant that buried his talent because he was afraid. And sometimes Christians are like that too. We have all these talents that God has given us. Or maybe we've only got one talent that God's given us. And we get that talent and we're just like this servant that buried his talent. We get that talent and we say, some of us would say, this talent is worth nothing to me. How is this ever going to get me anywhere? So we bury that talent, and we don't use that talent at all. We forget about it. All some of us have many talents, but we're too busy with life. We're too busy doing our own thing. Oh yeah, I've been doing this, and I've been doing that. We say, we're going to heaven, so there's nothing to worry about there, but yeah, we're not doing anything for the Lord. We're cruising, we're having a good time, we're enjoying the pleasures of life, we're doing what we want to do, haven't really got any worries, go to church every Sunday, everything's good. But in one sense, we've buried our talents. We haven't got our talents there, we're not using them to go for God's glory. You know what the sad part about that is? One day we're going to get to heaven. And we're going to have had a good time. We're going to have had enjoyed life. Well, what we think, enjoy life. We're going to get there. And we're going to have to hang our head in shame as we don't hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then we've got, maybe there's someone here, younger person, that's maybe not saved. And that's an even sadder situation. Because you know what? You won't even be in heaven. As 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 said, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You can do whatever you want down here, but if you're not a Christian, you won't be in heaven one day. And that's sad. But the good news is, as the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross for each and every one of us. He was spat upon, he was ridiculed, but he died on the cross and shed his blood so that each one of us have that choice of asking for his forgiveness for the wrong we've done, receiving him as our Saviour. And then we have this pleasure of going to heaven when we die. So if you're not saved today, it doesn't matter what you do with your talents. Well, in one sense, you've got to be careful how I say it, but you can do all you want with your talents. It's never going to get you to heaven. But by simply asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you for the wrong things you've done and to save you, then you can become a child of God, and then it's important what you do with your talents. Because after that, the Lord Jesus is either going to say, "Well done there, good and faithful servant," or he's going to, I don't know exactly what he'll say, but it'll be a time when we'll be very, very ashamed. Now, in a Christian's life, getting back to Christians, sometimes it's hard. It seems hard living the Christian life. Sometimes we're like the, as I said before, sometimes we're like the man who buried his talent. And the reason sometimes we bury our talents is because we're too afraid of what people think. And it's very real to all of us. You go out at the workplace, you see someone, you think, "I should talk to that person." But you know what? Sometimes there's an opportunity there, we leave that opportunity, and we may never get the opportunity again. But then again, it doesn't have to be every time we see someone, witness. It's got to be the faithfulness. Maybe there's going to be people that we're not going to get an opportunity to witness to every day. But it's just that matter of being faithful. Every time we get the opportunity, it's just that word in season to that person. And it's a matter of being faithful. But as I said, we can get afraid of what people think. Even among Christian people, even amongst our friends, we think, "But if I'm faithful in that area, what are my friends going to think?" But at the end of the day, wouldn't it be worth having your friends laugh at you and hear the Lord Jesus Christ say to you, "Well done, that good and faithful servant"? Then having a great time down there and down here, all your friends looking up to you, "Oh, he's a great guy," this, that and the other thing. And then getting to heaven and before God Almighty, having to hang your head in shame because he didn't say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." This is a very sad verse. It says, it's in Ezekiel, so Ezekiel is obviously looking, the Lord is looking for a man that's going to stand in that gap, that's going to stand up and say, "Yes, I'll be faithful. Yes, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do." At the end of our lives, when we stand before, when we are raptured, when we get to heaven, are we going to stand before the Lord and be ashamed before Him at His coming because we haven't been faithful? Or will you be that person who will stand in the gap and say, "Yes, I'll be faithful"? At the end of our lives, hear Almighty God say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, the Lord, all you've required is, Lord, that we be faithful. Lord, help us in our lives, Lord, to be faithful with the small things. Lord, as you've said, Lord, if we can't be faithful in that which is least, Lord, we'll never be faithful in that which is much. Lord, I pray this evening that there'd be maybe just one person that would say, "Yes, I'll be that person who will stand in the gap, Lord." That person that would stand up and not be like the man who, Lord, was afraid of what people might think. Lord, a person that would stand in the gap and not be the best, not be great, Lord, in one sense in your eyes, but Lord, would stand in the gap and just be prepared, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, I thank you for this time, Lord, and I pray that you would, Lord, help us, Lord, in this area, Lord. Sometimes it's an area where we just feel, Lord, that it's just the mundane things of life. But Lord, if that's what you want us to do, Lord, that we would just be faithful in these areas. In the Lord Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.